Why are you always on about women, Stan? I want to be one.
I do feel, Reg, that any anti-imperialist group like ours must reflect such a divergence of interest within its power base.
Agreed. Francis? Yeah, I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Reg. Provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman,
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed. Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right. Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
But why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Most Crusade Channel wannabes only get the mission half right.
Men, you are about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West.
So why settle for half-baked radio hacks crusading in mono when you can get the real deal on The Mike Church Show?
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well.
In stereo. Oh, oh, oh. The Mike Church Show's Great Crusade is on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Turn it up loud, he said. You know, folks, when you need a dose of the truth here, because that's what we try and deliver here every day. We're not Democrats, we're not Republicans, although there may be some Republicans or Democrats here. I don't know. I don't ask. What we seek here on the Veritas Radio Network, on the Crusade Channel part of the Veritas Radio Network, is to conform our minds to reality. That's what truth is. Is there a truth? Yes. Can we know it? Yes. Can we repeat it? Yes. And if there is, and there's only one objective truth, this is just so, it's been bothering me ever since yesterday. It's so emblematic of the sickness of the age in which you and I currently live here. It's the Mike Church Show, by the way, here in the Bulldog Kia Studios. If you're looking for a new or used Kia or a new or used car, there is no finer place to do business with than our friends at Bulldog Kia. Go to BulldogKia.com today and check out the selection of new and used cars. And don't worry about it that you don't live near Athens, Georgia. It's okay because you know me and you know us. You can take advantage of the Bulldog Kia VIP delivery service. That's right. They will deliver to you your new or used Kia. For details and to go shopping for a brand new car or a used, certified used Kia car from Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, just go to BulldogKia.com or call 855-BULLDOG. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia. You tell them the King Dude sent you. And by the way, yes, I do drive a 2012 Kia Sorento. And it's an awesome car. As a matter of fact, I plan to drive that car until the transmission falls out of it. When it gone and can't go no more, I'll look at another one. For now, I'm good. Unless Mr. Kernall wants to trade me par for a newer model. Which, if he hears this, he'll probably be like, King, dude, you need a new one? You want par? I get you par. Because he's so good to us. And they'll be good to you, too. They're great people. You're not going to go wrong doing business with Bulldog Kia. Or with our friends at Buck Steel. If you're looking for that steel building out there and to get away from brick and mortar, and for an alternative, how about calling our buddies at Buck Steel? Go to bucksteel.com. Brick and mortar is not the only way to build a new barn. As a matter of fact, a steel building is the preferred way. It's actually less expensive than brick and mortar. Or a retail center or a store or whatever you got. Call our friends at Buck Steel today. Call 866-595-2381. That's 866-595-2381 or visit bucksteel.com today. If there is such a thing as an objective truth, and there is, and if there are such things as objective truths and we can know them, and we can, then we should be able to agree that there is but one objective truth. Or that there is but one truth. If I say to you, now folks, for those of you that follow Philosophia Perennis, this will not be threatening to you. To the rest of you, it may seem over your heads. It's not. And I strongly suggest again, gentlemen, prepare yourself for the coming revolution. Get ahead of the curve. Get your family. And then your neighborhood and your community and then your county and then your state. Go in that order to get things back in the proper order. That is natural law, law of eternal almighty God here, law of man under it, and the law of man is always in conformity to the law of God. This was tacitly rejected yesterday by our friend Denise McAllister. She didn't outright reject it. She tacitly rejected it. And in tacitly rejecting it, because she was my guest, I wasn't going to have a full-on, blown-out debate over it, but I will look forward to having further conversations with her about it. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say what I was thinking at the time. And that's this. That when we were talking about it, I said, well, you know, the problem is, Denise, is that we're like Breslau's ice creams or Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors. We have 31,000 flavors of truth. There's a huge problem with that because there can only be one flavor of truth. If I say three, as Brother Francis would explain, if I say three and you live in North Carolina, and you're about to be economically punished by a bunch of pervert promoters because you won't let transgendered people in your little girl's bathrooms. And then, of course, that allows the peeping Toms and all the other perverts. And they know this. That's why they're doing this. But if I say tree and I'm in Louisiana, I know the nature of a tree, and so do you. You know what it is. We don't disagree. That's a universal. If you're sitting in your house this evening and you're watching reruns of this on YouTube, people have been asking us for a Roku channel. Hey, if you're a videographer, dude, I've asked for help with the video at the Philadelphia live broadcast next Wednesday. No takers thus far, but we'll keep throwing it out. And don't forget to get your tickets, by the way, because you can still come to the event. And boy, howdy, we're not anywhere near selling the entire general admission area out. I'll keep promoting it every day until next Wednesday. But if we were looking at this on video, when I say tree and you say tree, we're both talking about the same thing. If you're watching me tonight on YouTube, on your television, and there's a knock on your door, you know that it's a person. You know that it's a human. How do you know? By their nature. That's a universal thing. They are attached to their nature. They cannot detach from their nature. Their nature says that only man has the intelligence or the intellect to knock. A beaver can't knock. A bear's not going to come knock at the door. Your dog, now your dog may come clawing at the door, but he's not going to reach up and knock. He's not going to ring the doorbell. Some smart butt's going to say, hey, you get a video dog to ring the doorbell. I'm sure somebody can train a dog to ring a doorbell. Dog's not going to do it of his own volition. Mike, Mr. Church, please, why does any of this matter? Please get back to bashing Hillary. I was enjoying that. It matters because we know these things by their nature. We know the truth of things by its nature. And we know moral truth by the fact that we can trace the moral truth back to the only source that matters. The God, man, himself, the incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christus of Nazareth, in Rye. Jesus Nazarene, Rexedere, Judei. Jesus, King of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We know this. We can some of it that he came to affirm, we can trace back to Moses and Abraham. But we know the moral law. We know what it is. We can trace it back. Now, folks, this is where we get off the rails here. And this is when Miss McAllister said, well, that's your truth, and I'm Protestant, and that's not my truth. And then we can have a constitution, and we don't have to have obeisance to eternal law. Yes, you do. You're complaining about atomizing, and yet you're participating in atomization. You're complaining about being particular, and yet you're participating in continuing particularity. I can trace the teaching on divorce and adultery and marriage directly back to the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. I can trace it straight back, run a straight line back. I know from whence it came. I know what it says. I know what it is. There's no argument about, well, if you read the Greek, whatever. We know what it is. We know what it says. If it was true at the time he said it, sans his coming back to edit his own words, then it's true today. It is only pride and arrogance that prevents us from conforming our mind to that reality. So if someone is out there teaching you and saying that, no, well, we've edited that censor because we've known and grown. No, you've perverted and you've digressed. You have not progressed. You have degressed or egressed. This is the fundamental and primary problem. And why Christendom is no more, and why the shreds of the ashes of Christendom are about to eat themselves. Because of this simple thing that I just explained to you that I believe a 9-year-old child can understand. And that is the universality of moral law. By the way, it's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. I invite your phone calls, 844-5-CRUSADE. If you can't get to the phone, send an email with your comments, kingdude@mikechurch.com. And you can also make your comments on the Twitter feed, @TheKingDude, and on the Facebook Mike Church Show fan page. Now, let me say to you, well, we just missed, the all-time listening record was broken 2 weeks ago, 12 days ago, during this time of the day, and boy, we are nowhere near. The average is going up, but all-time simultaneously. I monitor these things, and I always inform you, because I want you to know when great things happen. And even though, we're above the average. Back to the subject matter. So if we can know these things and we refuse to conform our minds to them, then who is it that's in error? Well, what does error produce? Error produces more error. You can't get back to universality, and when we're talking about moral laws, we need to have universality. No one disagrees as to whether that. Now, look, this just destroys this ridiculous argument that, well, no, it was a medieval interpretation by you Catholic clowns that led to this magisterium, this thing you called a minute. No, it wasn't. It most certainly was not. Just because the ability to start writing things down can be traced to medieval times does not mean that that was their origin, because they were certainly existent in tradition and passed on from generation to generation. There is no disagreement whatsoever as to whether or not there should be a prohibition against murder. No one will question whether or not we should have laws on the secular books that say murder is illegal. In some instances, we have laws on the books that say that capital punishment for murder is permissible. No one says that we should take the laws out of the book that are universal prohibitions against theft. Although we have theft today, we just don't call it theft. Many people will throw it up in someone like my face. Well, there's also a law against worship and graven images, and you do that every time you pray to one of your stupid saints, or every time you put a statue up and you worship it. First of all, I've never worshipped a statue in my life. Statue is no more than a physical representation of what the saint may have looked like during life. That's all it is. Praying for the intercession is to say, hey, you're up there in heaven near our Lord, near God. Do me a favor, please. Intercede. Well, you could just go directly. How do you know that we don't go directly? Why not take both avenues, especially when there are saints that are known for having performed miracles, medicals? Nothing happens, ecclesiastically speaking, magisterially speaking, by accident, by the by. So, just to finish the point off, we're going nowhere as a civilization if we continue this ridiculous, prideful notion that you and I get a vote on which morality we're going to live by. If you think that you get a vote on it, well, congratulations, you are part of the problem. Shut up. Fall in line and just enjoy the tax and spend and very soon to come tyrannical ride. If you refuse to conform your mind to that reality, can I trace back marital laws, other moral laws, directly to the source of divinity himself, to the God-man, our Lord himself? Yes, I can. If a simpleton like me can do it, than anyone can. Whether or not you wish to, or whether or not you wish to maintain your prideful attachment to your own personal interpretation of these things, you're doing exactly what you accuse the libs of doing. You accuse the libs of doing what, so now the moral teaching has penumbras emanating from it? You know, the same concept is behind, well, the 14th Amendment may not have said that directly, but it's got penumbras emanating from it. Really? So now the penumbra's intimate and you're on divorce number 7? You think maybe it's not the wives or the husbands that you keep going through, and maybe there's something else that's at issue here? Maybe our Lord was right. Maybe his admonition and his prohibition against divorce and against putting your wife away as he turned it, maybe he had a very good reason, because he was kind of there and around when creation would happened. So when we have stories like this, and I'm going to play you a digital media file now, when we have a controversy, which we do have today, like the one we are currently embroiled in, over whether or not men are men or women are women, these are universals again. Are there a few exceptions? Yes, to the rule, yes, but for the most part, these are universals. Is there a moral teaching on transgenders and on those that suffer sicknesses as a result of lust? Yes, there is. Can we know it? Yes, we can. Now, let me just make sure that, let me peel this away. Hang on a sec here. Trying to find out where the issue is. There it is. All right. Here, now I'm going to go to the desktop presenter, and I'm going to play you. I want you to listen to this. When you deviate from universals and when you deviate from an agreed-upon universal truth that governs a moral code, you get perverts in bathrooms in North Carolina. You get 59% of people jumping on board the bandwagon and say, yay, go perverts. Yay, perverts. And you get attorney generals of the United States basically threatening that, look, if you don't agree with us, we will punish you. Folks, this is nothing more than an attempt at, as David Harsanyi calls it today, this is about crushing dissent. And it's not just about crushing dissent, though. It is about crushing the truth while the truth still lives a little bit, while the truth still breathes a little bit, while the truth still has some advocates, a few. I want you to listen to this. If you didn't hear this, every American ought to hear this. This is the Attorney General of the United States basically saying that the laws of nature have been overturned by the Obama administration and that 1/100 of 1% of the population now get to make the rules for the rest of us. Because they may have their feelings hurt when they go to the bathroom. Oh, cry me a transgendered river, for heaven's sake. What about the kids that are going to be traumatized? What about opening up the bathrooms for the perverts and the peeping toms? This is as deceitful and as diabolical as it gets, but I want you to just listen to the haughtiness that you're about here. This is the same as civil rights. No, it's not the same as civil rights. You don't have the civil right to perform an act of sex change. Some might even say that a government ought to prevent you from doing it. Some might even say that what you need is psychiatric counseling. Some might even say that those that actually undergo the sex changes are no more happier than they were before. Now they have a mutilated body to deal with. Oh, but let's get them done. Here, let's start the kids at 8 years old. This is a sickness. This is a hatred of God. This is a hatred of humanity. This is a hatred of God's work. This is a hatred of God's creation. This is not acceptance. This is in love. Listen and weep. Oh, for heaven's sake. Stupid, lousy video.
More to the point, they created state-sponsored discrimination against transgender individuals who simply seek to engage in the most private of functions in a place of safety and security.
A right taken file. For granted by... Wait a minute. What about the rights of other people to practice the same? What about the rights of the kids to practice it? They instituted a discrimination. Okay. Actually, they didn't. The discrimination was instituted by God when he took a rib from Adam and made Eve. Why don't we just penalize God? The Obama administration is hereby ending that the state says that there is no God.
Most of us. Last week, our civil rights division notified state officials in North Carolina that House Bill 2 violates federal civil rights laws.
No, it doesn't.
We asked that they certify by the end of the day today that they would not comply with or implement House Bill 2's restriction on restroom access. An extension was requested by North Carolina and was under active consideration. But instead of replying to our offer or providing a certification, this morning the state of North Carolina and its governor chose to respond by suing the Department of Justice. As a result of their decisions, we are now moving forward. Today, we are filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against the state of North Carolina.
It's over, folks.
Governor Pat McCrory, the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, and the University of North Carolina.
Stop the digital media file. No, you are filing a lawsuit against Louisiana State University, Oklahoma State, Cal State, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, University of Alabama, University of Florida, University of Duke, University of Virginia and the Cavaliers, University of Notre Dame, University of Michigan, University of, Rutgers. University of Princeton, Air University in the United States is going to be made to comply. She's not filing a suit against the little people, the hoi polloi of North Carolina. That suit is going to have repercussions for every person in every state. As Governor McCrory keeps saying, if they win this in court, they're going to force it on everyone. Every state is going to comply. Perverts in the bathrooms in every state as a result of this crushing of dissent. I say it's not a crushing of dissent. It is an abolition of God. If we are created beings, and we are, and if there is a creator, and there is, and if he's the one that determined the gender, and he did, and then if we sit here and say that, well, Mr. Church, please, God can make a mistake. Well, if he did, he'd be the only one that knew it. You wouldn't, dummy. This is a repudiation of the known natural order, the demonstrable natural order. You can see it. I can see it. David Harsanyi says this is crushing dissent. Yeah, it does crush dissent. But it also paves the way if the Obama administration, if the federal government, and if the federal judiciary can be called upon to crush this dissent, what else can they be called upon to do? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't see the threat posed by this acquiescence here, what if it's a forced acquiescence and the federal judges say, well, we've ruled and you're going to have to do it. What should North Carolina do? They should tell the federal government, too bad. How about no? Is there any person or any governor in any state that is willing to stand up to this monster when they're telling us that our own children are, that our own daughters are not our daughters or they aren't daughters, and that our own sons are not our sons or they are not sons? We are at an end.
We are seeking a court order declaring HB 2's restroom restriction impermissibly discriminatory, as well as a statewide bar on its enforcement. Now, while the lawsuit currently seeks declaratory relief,
let's go one piece at a time. A statewide bar is implemented. That means that every entity in the state of North Carolina may not put signs up on their restroom doors and cannot deny access. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have rednecks standing outside of bathrooms fully locked and loaded with shotguns. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have rednecks in North Carolina and caring, concerned parents that are going to be standing outside of bathrooms with guns and ammo and weapons and every other hell-forsaken implement, and they're going to be daring someone to try and challenge them. You think, hey, pervert, you think you're going in the bathroom with my little girl? I can see that Adam's apple, you weirdo. That's what's going to happen.
I want to note that we retain the option of curtailing federal funding to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety and the University of North Carolina as this case proceeds. But this action is about a great deal more than bathrooms.
Yeah, tell me about it, sister.
This is about the dignity and the respect that we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as a people and as a country have enacted to protect them. Indeed, to...
What about the laws that have been enacted to protect women from being exposed to horn dog men in women's rooms? What about the laws that have been enacted or supposedly enacted to protect children from pedophiles and pederasts? I don't believe I'm hearing this, but I am, just as you're hearing it. I'm hearing it.
Protect all of us. And it's about the founding ideals that have led this country, haltingly but inexorably, in the direction of fairness, inclusion, and equality for all Americans. This is not the first time.
So what happens after this? Can you now say that perverts, let's follow this. Next up is pedophiles. They've already started this. The initial phases of this are already in play. Look, they're just misunderstood. They have no choice in the matter. They were born pedophile. They want exposure to your children. But so what? What's a little kiddie diddling when we're talking about ultimate freedom and sensual pleasure for adults that deserve it? By gum, this is America. Mike, you're exaggerating now. Yeah, sure I am. No one could have ever have predicted this. Someone had told you 5 years ago they're going to be grown men with their Adam's apple sticking out, with fake wigs and fake breasts, standing in line or standing at in a stall or waiting in a stall to go use the bathroom after your daughter. Well, here, let me ask you ladies a question. What if one of these, and these people are disordered? Yes, we owe them our charity. Yes, we owe them our love. And yes, they need to be treated, which is a part of today's pile of prep and part of what I'm going to get into. Let me ask you women out there something. What about when your daughters first go through, you know, that phase? Huh? There's no way Mrs. Doubtfire does not know what it's like to go through, you know, that phase, at 12, 13, 14, 11, whatever the age is these days. Of course, with all the hormones in the food, what, it's down to 9 now? 12. You want a person that you know to be a male passing themselves off as a female? Now, what if they're not complete their transformation yet and they are a fully functional male? You want your daughter, as embarrassed as she already is, not knowing what's happening to her little body? Why am I, going into the bathroom to have to go do this and perform this most intimate, private? It's got to be a humiliating act of hygiene with perverts. You don't think that the less moral amongst us, and boy, howdy, do we create them, you don't think they're going to figure out how to abuse this law? This woman is talking about protecting people. What about, who's going to protect the children? Folks, you have, I tell you, I'm going to have to go to confession because I'm watching this video and I'm looking at this woman and I'm just seething with rage. I can't believe that I am watching a, quote, African-American woman, close quote, who cannot tell the difference between the civil rights struggle and outright violent oppression of people and the difference between boys and girls and the danger involved in breaking down that barrier and exposing, even if, well, what if it's just adults, Mr. Church? Please, come on. Even exposing adults to this. Why don't we just get it over with? Just say, hey, it's open season on everyone. And I'm telling you, what comes next is the pedophiles. Pedophiles are out there licking their chops going like, they're going to have to normalize me. You can't tell me that I don't have the right to diddle your kids. Of course I do. Of course I do. 844-5-CRUSADE. I'm only sad that there's not a larger audience to hear this today. Hopefully some of you will hear this and take the lead.
We have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in the fierce and widespread resistance to Brown v. Board of Education. And we saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex...
Folks, there is not a person left in the inner city that thinks that Brown versus Board of Education helped anyone. Not a person left in the inner city that are not now totally divested with the idea that separate and equal was probably not such a bad thing, and that if there was going to be integration, it needed to happen organically. You look at the schools that were segregated, and then after the initial wave of segregation occurred, they're slums. Most of them are closed. They're not even there anymore. Look at the inner cities that were affected by Brown versus Board of Education. Show me one where there's a paradise. Show me the good results, Brown versus Board of Education. And by the way, you talk about a constitutional piece of perversion. Well, Mike, it was a lofty idea. I mean, they had the idea, right? Again, it had to be done organically. Folks, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to say this again. I know some of you aren't going to like this. This is a result of not having a single moral code. There's a piece of urban legend out there that the popes of the 14th and 15th century and 16th century had slaves, endorsed slavery, the Catholics were out there rounding up the Africans and were assisting, and that they were slave owners and slave this. It is an entire crock of steaming horse you know what. Tire crock of it. The idea that some things in the moral order are up for your own personal, private interpretation is what led to white man's acceptance of slavery. It is not a Christian thing to look upon any of our brothers and sisters. Yes, that includes the confused with anything other than charity and love, regardless of race. But someone that is obviously suffering a disorder, all they are due is charity, love. And if we must assist in treatment, well, then we must assist in treatment. That's the Christian thing to do. Folks, I printed this out. I'm looking to see. I don't know what I did with it. I know it's in the, well, I thought it was in the pile of prep. It is in the pile of prep, and I thought I printed it out. It's not on the printer. Well, I have the story here somewhere. And in this story is the, oh, wait a minute, I know where I can find it in. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. Hey, bathroom pervert promoters, the 10th Amendment doesn't come on a roll from Charmin. This is, now, I actually went and looked up, okay, so how are Christians supposed to treat the disordered transgendered? And I found from some of you, my Catholic brothers and sisters out there, going to laugh, going to go, oh, brother Mike, you probably shouldn't use that source. Sorry, it was the only one that I could find. And I looked for an hour yesterday. Moira McQueen, one of the Canadian councils of, it's not a bishop council, it's some kind of council. I can't recall them. Anyways, yes, I can, because I have a story right here. Edmonton Eparchy. Bioethics Matters, Catholic Teaching on Transgender. I just want to read you this. To those that say, well, you just hate them all. You want to go, no. Here's the teaching. This is what you're supposed to think. Briefly stated, each of us is made in God's image as man or woman. Two, gender identity is determined at conception, genetically, anatomically, and chromosomally. Three, a person must accept that objective identity. B, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, September 1997 edition, section 2333 states, I don't like quoting catechism, but I'll do it in this instance just for a little guidance. Here, let me go to section 224, 2004, a little more recent. Quote, everyone, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his or her sexual identity. Physical, moral, and spiritual differences and complementarities are oriented towards the goods of marriage and the flourishing of family life. So now we know why we're made different. And it's a beautiful thing. It's part of the nature. Again, you cannot deny the nature. If there's a nature, that must mean that there is a supernature. Now, for you non-believers out there, of course, there isn't. I weep for you. But there is a supernature, supernatural. There's a supernatural God that brought it into existence here. Back to the teaching. So, the ordering of man-woman is for sacrament of marriage, sacramental marriage, and then the bringing into the world and the rearing of children. Again, all buttressed not only by the natural order of creation, but by the beautiful creation and the order of the moral code. Moral code, moral law, handed down to us. Commandment number 4, honor thy father and mother. What else can that possibly mean? Commandment number 6, thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. This is boilerplate, easy to get stuff. Third graders understand it. It's only the whacked out of their brains, prideful and vain-filled, tyrannical adults that don't want to get it. Back to the teaching. The harmony of the couple and of society depends in part on the way in which the complementarities, needs, and mutual support between the sexes are lived out. According to this perspective, it is obligatory that positive law be conformed to the natural law, according to which sexual identity is indispensable, because it is the objective condition for forming a couple in marriage. In other words, there can be no law accommodating, promoting, or anything of the sort of those that reject their gender. It is not to be made illegal. Now, what to do about it? Well, that's just where you idiot, stupid Catholics leave it because you hate everybody and you have a stupid Pope with a funny hat. Right. Medical approaches to gender dysphoria. That's what it's called. And there's treatment of gender dysphoria. Here's Moira McQueen, LLB, MDIV, PhD, the executive director of the Canadian Catholic Bioethics Institute, whatever that is. Here's her conclusion. I think it's very humble and charitable. Quote, given the unknowns that surround the causes of gender dysphoria, and also given statistics on unfavorable outcomes of hormonal and surgical procedures that try to change gender, we would do well to take the least interventional approach of counseling therapy and support for those who have this condition. More information and education is needed for the community to protect children who identify with gender dysphoria with interventions such as the use of pre-puberty hormone blockers being rejected. Catholic teaching is clear on the need to accept the objective truth of the reality of our bodies in this condition, and therapy should have that aim as its goal. Hopefully Christopher showed you some of that on the desktop presenter because I've got it right there. But you can read my piece on this yesterday at MikeChurch.com. As a matter of fact, go read it and forward it around. It'd be nice to see that thing having been shared on the Facebook and the Twitter a couple thousand times, knowing that, hey, there is a teaching on this and people need to know it, specifically why I spent 2 hours of my day, 3 hours yesterday writing that, because I didn't know it. I didn't know what the teaching was, so I went and found it. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel asking you to become part of the Veritas Radio Network. Tomorrow is our drop dead date certain. We set a couple of goals 1 month ago. I'll give you the three goals. An increase in funding by $15,000. That's in cash crowdfunding. An increase in paid members by 300. And then an increase in live listening and website traffic so that we know that we have an audience that is vibrant, a choir. We have a choir. We knew we had a choir all along. We wanted to know that were people that were coming and listening to the choir and maybe even thinking about attending choir practice every now and then. I'll give you the results of all that tomorrow, but those are the three objectives. None of them have been met, so I ask for your assistance. And if you'd like to assist, and you like what you hear here on the Mike Church Show and the Mark Kreslin Show, and today we have a brand new episode of The Modern Wrong World Made Right, Calvin Was Wrong, Episode 9, with my friend and our expert Latinist, Ryan Grant, who is the translator of the De Controversiis de Supremo Pontifico. The controversy on these, on the whole, I think it's Suprema, maybe it's just Holy Pope, Holy Father. this is a controversy that was started at the time of the, what is called the Reformation, which is more properly termed the Revolution. And it is St. Robert Bellarmine's answer to the charges that there is not to be a pope. There never was supposed to be a pope. The whole thing was made up. It was concocted by a bunch of maniacal Catholic bishops and people, evil, despicable people like St. Augustine and St. Benedict and St. Gregory the Great, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, if you want to learn about this, then listen to the Calvin Was Wrong episodes 1 through 8. And today we'll do episode 9. If you like programming like that, tomorrow a brand new episode live for the second time of the My Story of America with Dr. Michael George. This is a story about communism, about fighting communism. He's going to do that show live tomorrow, live at noon. So we are live all the way until 2 p.m. Central Time tomorrow from 6 a.m. With a brand new episode at noon of David Simpson's True Money Show. And he's got a guest tomorrow, I know, because I saw the bookings. Great guest. You're going to love this. Then, of course, on Thursday, we have a brand new episode of the Constitution Hour debuting. Tomorrow night, we talk Philosophia Perennis with Brother Andre Marie, our resident monk, our Marian monk, our friend, and also the host of Reconquest, which is in its 25th episode now, I believe. And all these episodes are available, and all made part, you can streaming, listen to them, you can download them to your digital devices, thanks to the Founders Pass. So that's what you get here for being a member of the Founders Pass at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. You can also make donations. You can participate in our crowdfunding effort. You can make weekly and recurring donations. You can become affiliates and sell memberships on your site using a special link in the affiliate service that we have at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. All that is all available, but if you want to learn about all of it and help us before the deadline tomorrow, May the 11th, then please go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and click on the Veritas tab at the top of any page, and then under that tab you'll see SOS. Click SOS, take you to the site, tell you all the details. Let's go to the phones at 844-527-8723. This is, hang on, to the Dude Maker Hotline. Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com has phoned in. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Are you talking to me?
Young Christopher, did you say that Debbie, the movie critic, that's what it says? Apparently, that's not the case. Can you check that for me, please? Meanwhile, Don in Florida. Don... I only read what's on the prompter, folks. Don, how you doing? Are you Don?
I am, Mike.
Oh, thanks. Hold on. Moment of silence. Hold on. Thanks for small favors. Okay.
And by the way, I called straight from the apps, and it works great.
Oh, fantastic.
I want to chime in on this. I know I've exchanged some emails with you in the past, Mike. I actually work for a state think tank here in Florida. I won't name it right now, but...
Yes, I remember, yes.
Yeah, and I know many of my think tank brethren that work at the national organizations get a lot of criticism, and definitely just criticism for a lot of the policy positions they take. But we here in Florida, we are trying, and I can personally attest that I am trying to prepare Florida and my own local community what I believe is about to come in the next 5 to 10 years, if not sooner, which is the complete federal control over all the things we do here in the States. And I've been advocating in my work for a complete detachment and preparation for complete detachment from federal funds. The fact that this is going to affect state universities is just the tip of the iceberg. As you know, there are Catholic schools and private schools that will be affected by this. There is no doubt they will go after the Catholic schools and the private schools just the way they did with Obamacare. They will force them to have transgender bathrooms on all of the campuses. They'll go after the church. They'll go after all religious institutions. And the fact remains that the more money we accept, whether it be transportation dollars, healthcare dollars, education dollars, grants, all that federal money comes with a price, a very, very big price, and that
price
being your state sovereignty. And until people can wrap their minds around not being on the government dole, not taking federal assistance, not taking federal incentives and subsidies, not realizing that by selling out for one project, just one project, you are now in the pocket of the government. The government now has you. There is nothing you can do. There is no case you can ever make that will ever say that you are on your own and that you're doing this privately, because you have accepted federal money. And for all the Catholic schools and private schools that accept Pell Grants and federal Stafford loans and those things, and for the states that accept Medicare and Medicaid and the federal money that comes from that, and any federal program, transportation expansion, you name it, whatever it may be, you now are owned by the federal government. And until our states have the courage, the wisdom, and the fortitude to go through the pain that it will be pain that it will take getting rid of those connections and those chain links. We are going to be forever beaten over the head by the Loretta Lynch's and Barack Obama's and Hillary Clinton's and maybe even Donald Trump's when they say that we're the federal government, we know better, and you just have to sit there and listen.
Yeah, you got to do what we tell you to do.
Yeah, absolutely right. And
Don,
this is all inevitable. I mean,
now, Don, what do you guys study? Just give me the topic. Don't give me the name. What do you guys study at your think tank? And
sure.
I should. There's no universe. Now, I got your note, and I didn't respond. Or if I did, I don't remember. I don't recall what I said. But there's no universal condemnation on the entity known as a think tank.
Right.
I specifically refer to those that are obviously plying their evil, diabolical craft. In order to enrich the thinkers, the alleged thinkers there, and in order to pull off the grift, then this thing called the 501c3 or whatever part of the code, of the tax code, is used to direct monies that would otherwise be taxed. And as the big companies like Shaden Edelson's casinos and the Wynn casinos and the agribusinesses and all those, they're the ones that plow tens, hundreds upon hundreds, if not billions of dollars into donations to these think tanks because they could say, well, that's not part of what of my taxable income now. So in other words, they are able to contribute to some governmental cause that is going to be to their betterment, which is usually growing government, and they're going to be able to grow. They're going to be able to grow government. Now, if they grow government, this is why this is sinful and why I'm so vehemently opposed to it. If they're able to grow government, Don, who pays for that? They don't. I do.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you, to qualify, we are a 501c3.
Well, that's fine. I mean, look, there are a lot of people that are nonprofits that have to be simply because of the way the law is structured. I mean, you basically... some things you just can't run as a for-profit entity.
Right. And I wish we had the budgets of some of these organizations. We obviously don't. We're a state organization. We focus on every policy area that impacts the state of Florida, and mostly emanating from state house and local county issues. There are some federal issues we take on, particularly when it comes to property rights. Eminent domain and EPA regulations are definitely two big ones for us. And then we successfully helped the state legislature oppose the expansion of Medicaid here in the state of Florida. That was a big win for us. But we're very active in terms of education and giving students and parents the freedom to choose where they want to go to school. And obviously, we do that with the caveat that we don't want to see more federal influence on education, healthcare, free market reforms in healthcare, where that looks like health sharing accounts, which I'm a member of. I'm a member of a health sharing account, which allows me to share my medical expenses with other like-minded Christians. Direct primary care practice, all different overturning certificate of need regulations, which essentially are hospital licenses and allow hospitals to have a veto on their competition.
Right.
There's a number of different things we're doing here in Florida, but the big one, and I can tell you that the leadership of the Florida State House does regularly meet at our headquarters. And one of the things they've been meeting about recently is the issue of federalism and how Florida can disentangle itself from the federal government, particularly as it relates to transportation, because that's one of the big ones. They dangle a lot of carrots when it comes to transportation money. That's how, we know going back, that's how the alcohol age laws put into effect. They dangle transportation money and force the states to change the legal age for drinking alcohol. So, there's a lot of things we focus on here in Florida. I try, and I'm in fundraising, so I do a bit of everything, but... I have to be somewhat knowledgeable on a bit of all that we do. And when I speak with donors and prospective donors and speak to civic groups and different things like that, I really, truly stress the importance of disentangling from the federal government. I know a lot of my friends and colleagues that work in this industry around the country at various organizations like Texas Public Policy Foundation and the Mackinac Center in Michigan and There's others. I think there's the Pelican Foundation in Louisiana. There's many of us that truly believe we have to get away from Leviathan. We have to break free from the federal government in all ways. We believe that's the coming onslaught. And if we're not prepared for it, you know, we're going to get wiped out. And this North Carolina lesson should be a lesson for all of us that work in this industry and that just live in these states, it's coming for us. And if you are beholden to $4 billion and your budget line item is, you know, there's a line item coming from the federal government that you need to operate your state, then you're not free.
Well, now you see,
not sovereign.
Well, this is nothing short of a mob tactics. This is extortion here.
Of course. Course.
David Harsanyi calls it crushing dissent. I call it the abolition of God, the final abolition, because what the Injustice Department is basically saying is that it is the ultimate authority. When Loretta Lynch said that we are going to intervene and we are going to prevent the implementation of this law, how are you going to do that? What are you going to send the 101st Airborne, which is based, I think they're based out of North Carolina. You're gonna call up the 101st Airborne. They're gonna parachute into freaking Raleigh. They're gonna have flak jackets on, night vision, night goggles on, rifles slung. How are you gonna prevent the implementation of the law? I mean, this sounds like I said yesterday on the Facebook and at MikeChurch.com, this was a declaration of war, because that's what it sounds like.
Yes, it definitely does. And the fact that most people are not aware of what's happening to them in this
They got to be coming aware now. There's no way you can hide from me. All the contrivances of stupid reality television shows and the Trump campaign and all the imbecilities and vainglorious exploits on social media, you have to know ignorance is no longer an excuse. If you don't know, then you're just ignoring it.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with that. But I would also qualify that knowing what's going on and understanding the issue and how it's going to impact you in your state is another thing. There's so much attention. I mean, just look at the presidential campaign. There's so much attention paid to one man or woman running for one single office. It shows you how warped the American mind is to think that one man or one woman in 4 years' time in one administration can solve the problems of 320 million people. It just shows you they are completely divorced from reality and logic. And unfortunately, this is what we've reaped living in a democracy. And, you know, you talk about this all the time, and I appreciate all of the guests you have on and the points you bring up. Trust me, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. You're having an impact. And we truly, truly need to have a return to city states and local republics and enclaves for us.
Well, not only do we need it now, let me be clear about something. I'm about playing Obama. Let me be clear. Now, y'all, let me be clear. Seriously, clarity is needed on return to city states. And when Mark Cresens talks about secession, he's right. David Simpson actually disagrees with him. I think Simpson is partially right. They're both right. I've tried to straddle the two and try to marry the two in the middle. When Simpson says he's against secession, he says it for the right reason. He says because just rejecting the authority, which is what that would be, is just not the proper course of action, and that is actually the genesis of the original error. Cresens says, well, no, this is an illegitimate authority and hasn't been legitimate, and we need to just sever the tie. So this is what I tell David. But David, it's not a legitimate. Okay, it is a legitimate authority as long as we place ourselves under it. You know, and I know that it is almost everything it does is sinful, deceitful, immoral, and is therefore illegitimate. The magisterium itself says, I am not required to obey a law that is not just. I don't have to obey it. So We have two men, very passionate, both involved now. They're both involved. You know, David may not think he's involved, but since he got me involved and started me down this path, or I was blessed to have him start me down this path, he is involved. Mark may not think that he's involved, but Mark decided to host his radio show. He moved himself to Oklahoma. He talks in these, and he moves in these circles, and he talks to these people. Whether we like it or not, I'll say what Randy Barnett said to me at our Article Fifth Amendment convention symposium we had in Washington, D.C., what Professor Randy Barnett said to me. He said, Mike, whether you like it or not, you're an elite now. People think that you're an elite, so you are. That doesn't mean you have to act like a jerk and you have to be an elite, but you're an elite. Don, what this means for David and for Mark and for me, and if you continue to make your public appearances, your public your opinions known, it requires us. This is what Father Bozant said this in his sermon. I'm going to keep hammering this. It requires us now to act out. In the first instance, our Christianity, and in the second instance, apply that to these monstrous problems that we have, and we have to do it. We have to do it now, and we have to do it publicly. You can't hide anymore. The chick from The Mockingjay is not coming to rescue us. Katniss Everdeen is not coming to rescue us. The little chick from the Divergent series is not coming to save us. The women superheroes are fictional. Captain America is not coming to save you, and neither is Tony Stark. Gentlemen, it's on us. Start your engines. Get in the game. Get off the sideline, you wallflower sissies, and get involved and stop with this ridiculousness that you know this. Well, my faith says it. My Bible says it. You know what? Why don't we just pick the things that we agree on today, and why don't we act upon those? Because this stuff is about to get real, bro. I've never felt so threatened, and I really do. In my prayer life, I think when I try and communicate with Almighty God and with my patron saint, I think that they are nudging me and directing me towards reading and learning things where I go, like, this is getting ready to happen in my lifetime, Don.
Agreed.
I'm not a saint. Are you a saint? I'm not prepared for this. Are you a general? I'm not a general. I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah. So I think you hit on it by with the word men. And I know you had D.C. McAllister on yesterday, and I don't know if you read. I know I read Anne Barnhart and people like Anne Barnhart and Hillary White and individuals like women like this that have very, very strong voices. But here's the problem, and this is a lot of what they talk about. We have women like this that are willing to speak up, but where are the men? Where are the good men in our society that are willing to stand up for what's right, willing to take their responsibility as males and say, this is wrong. I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to allow my daughters to be perpetrated, be exposed to having transgender people come into their bathrooms. Where are they? I mean, you could, maybe it's a Governor McCrory, but he's, at the end of the day, he's a politician. We need people that are
he's gonna fold like an, he's,
in a republic.
Right. He's going to fold like an accordion. He's going to be, you know, I need to have a sound effect ready to go for this. Because here, this is what McCrory and the rest of them are. They're going to fold like an accordion, just like this. This is what it's going to sound like. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have that music bed ready next time Mike Pence or one of these other clowns actually capitulates on something they previously said. Let me read something to you. One of the ways you can communicate with us here on the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel, it's not just traditional talk radio. We read all messages, email, Twitter, text message. If you know me and you got my phone number, send me a text message. Facebook messages. So I was just talking about David, and this is what David said, and this makes sense. So let me clarify for Mr. Simpson has the floor. Beer. The fact that it is an authority makes it something we have to respect. The fact that it is acting illegitimate makes it something we must oppose. But rejecting authority is our worldwide error. So yes. I was on the right path, and David, thank you, brother. I didn't state it exactly correctly, but it is that we must acknowledge, and that's why secession must be treated with kid gloves, because you have to acknowledge that authority is going, yes, there's always going to be an authority. Even if we go all the way back to the book of Judges and we live like the Israelites did, and we don't have organized governments, but we do have panels of judges that are convened from time to time. What keeps us in check in between is what Fleming from the Rockford Institute calls obedience to the unenforceable. You actually are, when you're under the system of judges, you actually are conforming your mind to the reality that the authority comes from Almighty God. Because you know what the law is, you know what the commandments are, you know what the prohibitions are, you know what is permissible and what is not. So you actually are, even then, when you have no government other than one that you convene when you need it, you actually are still under the government of Almighty God himself. You're under his law. That makes it a government. So David is right. I got in an argument with this clown on Twitter and some of the other guys, and Pepper and Cesare. And Richard Barron, some other ones did too, who came to the rescue. The guy basically does, he makes the classic libertarian whack job anarchist mistake, which is that I'm not going to acknowledge any authority. Right. And I was trying to tell him, pal, if you live in the natural world it was created. If it was created, that then tells us that there was a creator. You do live under the authority of the creator, whether you like it or not. His authority extends to why molecules of hydrogen and oxygen come together and make water, you dip. His authority extends to why molecules of oxygen and nitrogen and helium and argon and carbon dioxide make up air. You have no choice but to live under his authority. So yes, Dagnar, you do live under an authority, like it or not.
Agree, and that's the problem. I think that's a mistake many of our anarcho-capitalist friends make, that they do not want to recognize any authority other than really the authority of themselves. And that, I don't know if they've looked back at history much, but that generally does not work out well. Man cannot govern himself without some authority. And obviously, we believe that God is that almighty authority. And
that's right.
Yes, sometimes he does ordain government officials or kings that we must listen to. But that takes humility, and that's, I think, obviously been a big part of your reversion, I should say, or this change you've undergone in the last few years, is it takes humility to know that you can't possibly know everything there is to know, and you can't possibly govern yourself at everything that you do. That takes humility to understand that.
That's right.
That you need someone to direct you.
Well, there's no better place to find humility than in prayer. And in asking God to pour it into your soul, because we are not born with it. We tend to sin. And, of course, the original, greatest, most horrific sin is that which offended Almighty God so viciously that he kicked Lucifer and his minions out of heaven. And we know when he said, "Non servam," that was it. It only took one. Don, I appreciate the call. I got to go, but thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number, 844-5-CRUSADE. If you'd like to be on the program, website at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. I'd like to thank our friends at Buck Steel and at BuckSteel.com for a very generous donation to our crowdfunding effort here today. As tomorrow, May the 11th, is our crowdfunding deadline, our date, drop-dead date certain headline of what we're going to do with the future of the Crusade Channel and the Veritas Radio Network. There are certain things that we need and that we need to be able to rely on in the very near future to bring them into existence. By the way, I haven't been talking a lot about this, but I begin work this week in earnest in programming and in designing and getting ready for your enjoyment the Suzanne option. The Suzanne Sherman Show, which will extend our live reach to Thursdays and Fridays. So we will be live from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. That's 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central, or 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern, Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. when the Suzanne option kicks off next Thursday. Hey, and next Wednesday, still got tickets. If you'd like to come see me live and in person, I'd love to meet you. Come on out. We will be performing this show live at the Twins Smoke Shop on 10th Street in beautiful downtown Philadelphia, the city of crusaderly love. We're renaming it that day. And there's a Philly cheesesteak luncheon afterwards. You have to RSVP for all this. If you go to MikeChurch.com, my site, you get my daily pile of prep. You can sign up for my newsletter. We put it out once per day. It's got the daily Veritas et Sapienta. That's the daily wisdom, truth and wisdom quote from someone far wiser than I. The daily pile of prep, updates on what's new and new audio that has been posted, new video that's been posted. Hey, Maggie O'Connell, I forgot to tell you that Christopher and I are now doing a daily church doctrine video. He could show you how to get it on YouTube to put it in the newsletter. Folks, that's all for the part of the Daily Republican. Now, it don't cost nothing to sign up. It's at MikeChurch.com. You'll see newsletter sign up on the right-hand side of the page. Put your email address in and confirm your sign up. You're going to get a $10 gift certificate that you can use for any purchase at the Founders Trading Post, where all my books like Humility of Heart are. If you want a primer on humility, get a paperback copy of Humility of Heart. Get it. Get it today. Hey, by the way, our flash sale today is we have 10 copies of Patrick Henry, American Statesman, the book that I resurrected from the dead, the best bio of Mr. Henry ever written. I even added a new chapter about Patrick Henry and artwork to it and edited the whole thing down for modern readers and modern audiences. It's the best biography of Patrick Henry that has ever been written. It's in paperback. It's 50% off today as part of our flash sale. Go to MikeChurch.com, and you'll see it on the front page of the website at MikeChurch.com. We'll take our time out, folks. Our site is at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. That's where you'll find the Veritas tab at the top of the page. You can send friends there to listen live. The stream works on every page now. So no matter where you're at on the site, you can listen to this show and any other show that we have on. Remember, the Veritas Radio Network is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Don't forget to download our apps from the Google Android Store, from the iTunes Store, and from the Windows Store as well. This is the Mike Church Show. It's on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.